So hello and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. I'm James Marriott. Today we are in Leeds. I'm going to describe it as maybe an autumnal Tuesday morning is the best. I don't want to mention the fact that it's wet, it's windy. We'll just call it autumnal, that'll do. It's been a busy morning though so far here at Marketing Showcase, and it's time for our first podcast of the day and therefore our first podcast guest. Megan, would you like to do the honours and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you very much, James. So I'm Megan Brink and I'm the Marketing Campaigns Manager at Harworth Group, which is one of the UK's leading land regeneration and property developers.
Just tell us a little bit more then about the kind of work that you guys do, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So ranges across the board from residential development. So you're looking at complete land regeneration of sites like old collieries, and we turn those into a mixed tenure development. So we have a bit of affordable housing, new builds, kind of everything across that space, country parks. And on the other side of the business, we do more industrial and development. So your big warehouses and industrial parks is something that we do from the ground up, regenerating the land on past brownfield sites and turning them into kind of sustainable places where people want to live and work, basically.
This is not on my episode plan, but I'm trying to place your accent and struggling a little bit. I'm like, I don't think that's a Leeds accent.
No, not Leeds. I'm from South Africa originally, but here a couple of years and butchered the accent a bit.
I was going to guess at somewhere kind of Australia, New Zealand, something like that. I'm a few miles off, but not massively.
Not massively, yeah.
Could have
we
been
all
worse.
Get along fine could enough.
If I said Liverpool, that would have been a terrible guess. So I'm going to give you a statement and I want you to tell me whether you think it is accurate or not. Something that people say a lot, particularly in the business world, people buy from people.
Absolutely. And I think one of the key things that marketers in that B2B space forget sometimes is that businesses don't consume content, people do. And we, in an attempt to feel professional and polished, and oftentimes after going through, you know, 5 or 6 layers of stakeholder approval, your content comes back almost robotic, and it fits the mold for all of the talking points that the business needs to hit, but ultimately it's not resonating with the person behind the screen. So I couldn't agree more.
It does feel like, and this is a sweeping statement, but it feels like there's still a lot of businesses that kind of get this wrong. Robotic was a really good phrase that you used there, because it does feel like a lot of stuff, a lot of content, just a lot of marketing, just feel like it's kind of marketing by numbers, sort of. Like, you know, oh, we do this because we do it without really thinking about how does it connect, how does it sort of engage.
Absolutely.
And that, at the heart of it, is what it's about, isn't it? It's like you've got a message, you're putting it in front of someone. It's about engaging with.
Yeah, and I think all too often businesses forget when they're in a B2B space that just because your content hits the right talking points doesn't mean that it matters. And at the other end of that content, there's a person deciding whether or not they care about what you're saying. It's not a business making that decision. So I think we get swept up into the idea that for us to be taken seriously in the business space, we need to sound like a business and not like a person. But as a person in the business space, I'm not engaging with content that speaks to me like I'm a business and not a person. So we almost get sucked into this loop where none of us are saying things that we want to hear, but we keep doing it because that's the done thing in a B2B marketing space.
So how does this work for you in your role then? Give us a little bit of an insight into maybe some of the stuff that you do that you feel really works.
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to kind of wrap it up is we tend to ask 3 questions to make sure that content is resonating. The first one is, if I didn't create this content, would I actually engage with it? If I gave this to my friends and family, would they be able to bring out the key message in that piece of content? And finally, and this is where I think the most important thing is have I explained why what we do brings value to whoever I'm trying to target? And if we can't confidently say yes to all 3 of those things for every piece of content that we're putting out, it is time to strip it back and get in a room with people, not just in the marketing team, but across the business, map out those personas just with pen and paper and remember who we're speaking to, not what or why we're speaking to them. And we found that that's been really good. You know, how with our moving on into a much more campaign-focused realm at the moment, and we're sitting down with all of the business stakeholders and going, who is the person that you're speaking to as opposed to just the business that you want to target?
I love what you're saying. So I obviously I do podcasting, but as a form of marketing, which a lot of people don't necessarily think about it quite in the same way that, you know, kind of more traditional forms of marketing. But all the rules are kind of exactly the same. So it's quite literally about understanding who your audience is, talking to them about something that they're going to give a damn about. And the same rules apply, I think, to a lot of stuff. What surprises me quite a bit when I'm working with a client can be that they don't necessarily know who it is that they're trying to talk to. They've got a great idea. Sometimes they've got a great product, or they've got a great service, or they're at the early stages of having something that you kind of think, there's something really there. But then when you get kind of behind the desk with them and start chatting about, so who is it that you're trying to put this in front of? And they're like, oh, well, it's kind of a bit of everyone. I'm like, that's a problem. You can't talk to everyone. You've got to be a little bit more specific. It might appeal to everyone. That's great. But you've got to know who it is that you're talking to. What other barriers do you think kind of crop up in terms of if people can't say yes to those three things that you mentioned? What some of those kind of hurdles are that we've got to clear before they can get to that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is exactly what you've just hit on there, is actually putting people in the firing line and going, who is the person? Yeah. If you had to give me a name, give me an age, give me a job profession, don't say, oh, I want to speak to the head of marketing at Force 24. Tell me who that person is. Tell me what they care about. Because before they are the head of marketing at that company, they're a dad or a husband or someone who loves to engage with content that's video, or in your case, an audio. You know, I don't remember the last time I didn't spend my commute listening to a podcast. So meet me there.
Yep.
But before people are able to meet you where you are, they need to understand who you are. And I think that's where it relies on the whole business, not just the marketing team, because we can't understand, especially in a business like Harworth, we're really fortunate that we have such engaged stakeholders, and they're happy to sit down in a room with us and go, this is what this means to someone who's never understood it before. And that's where I think we almost fall into a trap, again, as marketers in the business space. You're trying to be taken seriously. You're fighting for that seat at the table. You're fighting to let creativity win in a world that's kind of full of facts and figures and spreadsheets. And I think we sometimes forget that our superpower is bringing human back into it and explaining to people that you're a person and you are engaging with the content. So why are we not treating everyone else like that? And it's more important to stop and go, who are those people? Then what do we want to say to them?
You may have answered this earlier on, so I might be asking you a question that I kind of asked a little bit earlier, but I kind of think it's relevant. When you are at your desk doing the day-to-day, how do you get yourself back into that zone? Because we all kind of get a little bit swept away kind of by the tasks and doing the do, and taking that step back and reminding yourself of that person, whoever it might, whether you actually have built an avatar of the person that you are marketing to, you get a little bit swept up, don't you, in the day-to-day. How do you kind of take yourself back to that point of refocus who it is that you're talking to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where, if you can take the time to do the persona workshops, make that person an avatar, make them a screensaver. If we've got four target audiences, we've got four personas and they sit on my desktop. And when I look at a campaign and I go, well, that landed a bit flat, like what went wrong there? 9 out of 10 times, I've forgotten that I'm talking to one of those four people. And I've started speaking to them like they're a collective group who all have the same vested interest and who all understand straight away why what we do brings value, because I know what we do brings value. So I'm getting through the to-do list, as you say. I'm churning out the content that needs to be churned out, but I've forgotten that I'm speaking to a person.
Amen. I come from a radio background. We used to have Wendy. Wendy was our target listener. And I built an entire life around Wendy. I knew everything about her and what she did and everything. It makes stuff so much easier when you've got that person in your mind about who you're talking to. You just communicate with them so much better. So I think that's a really great tip for people. This might be a slightly cruel question to ask you, putting you on the spot a little bit here, but are there any brands whose marketing you really admire that you kind of want to give a bit of a big up to?
To be honest, and it's a big player in it, I think the greatest ad I've seen recently is the Sainsbury's ad, where they swap out and they make it like Waynesbury and Elainsbury, and it's that point of like, your Nectar card is so tailored to you that it is a bit like, oh, you're coming a bit too close to being too personal now. Yeah. Like, that's a bit much.
That's clever.
But I think that just, for me, and obviously it's just not really in a B2B setting, but I think it's something that B2B businesses can certainly learn from. That's what people are looking for now. You know, we live in an age where everything that you consume is so hyper-tailored to you. Like, everything on social media, everything in your inbox, every ad that you watch, you walk down a billboard, and even now that, you know, we know your commute, we know what you're looking at. But I feel like B2B marketing hasn't really caught up to that space yet, and that's what's really missing.
Awesome. I could talk about this for the next hour, but we have got to wrap things up. If anyone listens to this and wants to follow maybe your content and what you're putting out there, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, it'd be great if you could find me on LinkedIn. I'm very vocal there with very long posts, but I hope that they're engaging and personable and human.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. I think we've left people with hopefully a little bit to go away and think about there. Start building that avatar, because it's one of the best things that you can do in any kind of marketing role. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.